This is In Spirit and in Truth with your host, Pastor Benny Ramos from Love Wings Ministry. God bless you. Get ready to receive the word and power and in truth. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. We greet you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and I'm on here with my precious wife, Donna, and we got Sister Margie with us, and so we're honored to be here with you. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, and we talk a lot about the Jewish roots if you've been listening to us, and we closed out last week with something, and I was going to share a little something extra, but I hope you that listened last week might get a chance to just to hear a little bit about this, and I was thinking about John chapter 3 real quick, and then we're going to get into the subjects that we want to talk about. But hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program.
And well, while you're going there, why don't I mention that
go
we
right ahead.
Do have service this afternoon
mm-hmm.
at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, from 2 to 4, at the Alliance Church. You can call us at area code 772-285-7007. Please call before you come. Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Before I talk about the main thing, I'm going to look at something in John chapter 3 I wanted to do last week, but we didn't get it done. But we're with you again today, and have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to tell you. We're honored to be here to teach the Word of God, and we want the truth and nothing but the truth, don't we, Pastor Donna and Margie?
Amen.
I got stuck with thinking about one verse in John 3:7. Jesus says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Well, this is interesting in the King James Bible. You know, the word ye in the King James means what? You all. And so these other Bibles just say, "Marvel not that I said unto thee that you must be born again," like it's an individual thing. But the translators put that in there for a purpose. "Marvel not that I said unto thee," who was this? Was Nicodemus, "you all must be born again." And I like verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, in my Bible, the first word, "that which is born in the Spirit," is capital S, is S, and is spirit, small S. It shows the Holy Spirit comes into our human spirit. Isn't that good? It's just clarified right there. So you must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what Jesus said in chapter 3, verse 3. He said unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," means he has to be born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." He won't understand. He cannot enter in. He won't know anything. He's got to be what? Born from above. All right, where I want to talk about is, that was from last week a little bit, if you were listening. I want to go to chapter 16 of Matthew now, and we're going to talk about some things. Something else that might give you a little, I like the prophetic implications and so many things in the Bible that people just kind of overlook, you know. but I think they're important to look at. Chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. I'm going to read a little bit here. I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Let me read this again. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So he asked his disciples, well, who do you say that I am? Now listen to what we have here. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, we know the word Christ means what? The anointed one.
Yes.
So he came from the Spirit. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but by my Father which is in heaven. Now this is interesting. You know, he called Peter what? His name was Simon, but he called him Barjona.
Yes.
Now, the word Bar-Jonah in the Hebrew, the word Bar means the, and then we got Jonah. Jonah's name, if you look it up in the First Covenant, his name means dove. And so, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
Son of the dove.
Son of the dove, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So the dove, the Holy Ghost, was what was revealed to Peter at that particular time. And then verse 18 says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind, that means to forbid, on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose, that means to allow on earth, shall be loosed or allowed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Jesus' name means what? Yeshua.
Yes.
Salvation. That he was salvation, the anointed one.
Amen.
That's what that means. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again, what? The third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now he wasn't talking to Peter, was he? Mm-mm. He was talking to the enemy that was speaking through Peter.
Yes.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever, we've read this verse quite a bit the last couple of weeks. For whosoever, are you whosoever listening here today, will save his life, his suke life, his soulless realm, the things you want, the things you like, the things you want to do, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his suke life, okay, and do what God wants for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to what? To his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now let's think about that for a moment. I'm going to think about some things prophetically. There wasn't nobody at that time that was speaking or anywhere that had ever seen the kingdom of God. So he said, there'll be some of you, not all, he says, some standing here which shall not taste of death. Well, I want you to know this. Three of them got to see part of this, but the other bunch didn't get to see it, did they? How many disciples were there? There was what? 12.
Yes.
So what's 3 from 12? What's that give you? 9? So 9 of the disciples did not understand what was being said here. He said again, there be some standing here, some, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now we go into chapter 17. Now here's something very prophetic here. And the Lord showed me this long time ago. It's in my book, I believe, that I wrote. And We got to remember, we've said this many times on this program, that God has a 7,000-year program to restore mankind in the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. We got a lot of other Jewish writings that reveal that. The book of Jasher, the book of Barnabas. We know they're not canon, but that they had the thought and the tradition in their heart to understand what it was all about. It was a 7,000-year program from the time that Adam was on the earth. Now think about this. We've probably gone very close to 6,000 years now since the time that Adam was on the earth. So we're going to get real close to that time, and then what's going to happen? We know Jacob's trouble is going to come, and then after that, the millennial kingdom will be set up, which will be that seventh 1,000-year period. We'll complete everything that God put in place. You notice it ends on a seven, God's perfect number.
Yes.
Okay? And so we know that, and so the days are important. And so, you know, we read over in Genesis chapter 1 about the 6 days of creation. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested, didn't he? So we think about this, so that the millennial kingdom is a picture of the rest that we're going to have in the future. So each one of those days in Genesis 1 represents a period of 1,000 years biblically with a Jewish understanding and tradition. And so, as I said, we're real close to the 6 days. Now let's go into chapter 17 thinking about the 6 days. This means 6,000 years, I look at it prophetically, from the time that Adam was on the earth. And after 6 days, after 6,000 years, Jesus is taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up unto a high mountain apart. So he's giving us a clue here about the time, right? And was transfigured. He was totally transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. So all of a sudden, the spirits of Moses and Elijah appeared, and Peter, James, and John got to see it. So these are the ones that was talked about in chapter 16, verse 28. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death. These are the three before they see the kingdom. Well, they saw something in the spirit here. Now, verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. When I think about tabernacles, we talk about what? The kingdom of God. Peter thought they were in the kingdom of God, because they don't build tabernacles except during the time of called the Feast of Tabernacles. And what's God telling us? They had to build booths. They lived out in the wilderness all those years. And so they had to build a booth every year, and they lived in that, showing that God's provision was always there. He took care of their food. Manna came down. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. There was none sick among them. This is what so he knew that tabernacles was referring to that, when all debts had to be released and everything. So he thought, wow, we're in the kingdom of God right now. Mm-hmm. Now let's back up and look at this for a moment. Here in verse 3 it says, and behold, there appeared unto him, to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now what God gave me on this years ago prophetically was this. You know, there's going to be three different types of people that will go into the kingdom of God during these last days when it comes. So what did Moses represent? He represents all those that will die in Christ. There's a lot of them, okay? And who does Elias or Elijah represent? All those that will be caught off the earth that we talked about last week. In other words, there's going to be a small segment of people compared to everybody that's lived up to that point. They'll have the privilege to leave this earth without going by the way of the grave and go to heaven. Isn't that incredible? And you'll be put in white garments. So Moses referred to the dead, and Elias represented those that were caught away. Well, then we have another group. What? There'll be a group of people that will survive Jacob's trouble in their physical bodies, will not be martyred, and they'll accept Christ, and they're going to go into the kingdom in their physical bodies. It talks about that in Isaiah. They're going to build houses. They're going to have crops. They're going to, and all that. And a child will be able to put his hand down in a snake's pit and all that. He will not be harmed. All these things, everything's going to change. And so those are the three items that God revealed here prophetically of how people are going to get into the kingdom of God. Amen? Death, being caught away, and then being alive when you go in. Isn't that amazing? So let's go on now. Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. We'd probably do the same thing, wouldn't we? Yes. We'd be flat on our face if we saw Yeshua.
Amen.
You know, people talk about, I have people tell me, I see Jesus all the time. I don't know whether I believe all that or not. I see him all the time. I've never seen him in his physical. Have you ever seen him? I never have. You know, but we have people telling you that. Mm-hmm. So I'm careful what I hear and what I believe, okay? or calling up the dead like a lot of people want to do. Oh, I saw my mom. Oh, I saw my ex-husband. Oh, I saw my grandpa. Whatever.
That's against the word of God.
That's called necromancy, and it tells you in Deuteronomy that's an abomination to God. So see, people don't know the word of God. They should think about what they're thinking about and what they might think they saw. Maybe the devil gave them something that's not there. Remember when Saul went to the witch of Endor to get a word? And look what happened with all that, okay? So we got to be careful of what we see, you know, in our minds, because our mind, this thing between our ears, is where the devil plays, and he plays a lot of tricks on people to believe certain things. You know, that God told me to do this, or God told me that. You better make sure it's God, and it's not coming from the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Did you hear? Amen.
Amen.
Now, verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save or except Jesus. Yeshua was the only one standing there. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then, say this describes, that Elias or Elijah must come first? And what the Jews believe that, because they won't get past the book of Malachi in the New Testament, they might have a different thought.
And they put out a chair for him every Passover.
Every year.
And here it says, save Jesus only.
Right.
You didn't say the only word.
That's
because
right.
Because people are looking to other ways of salvation, and there's people who are preaching there's more than one way.
That's right.
To salvation, but Yeshua is the only name that means salvation.
That's
so,
right.
So it says here, it says save Jesus only. He's the only way. He's the only way that we can come, that we can get to heaven, come to the Father.
And
there's
no other way. And so because Moses and Elijah is mentioned here over here in verse 3. A lot of preachers are saying the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 13 over there are going to be Moses and Elijah. And their names are not mentioned again. We're perceiving things that's not necessarily true, okay?
And they won't save anyone.
So I'm believing there are going to be two men raised up with the same power and anointing that these men have, and they're going to accomplish what God wants done. But will God bring Elijah back to this earth after he caught him off of the earth, put him in a supernatural body? He's going to bring him back down here, put him in a physical body, and let him minister for 3.5 years, and then kill him, and then resurrect him again. There's no precedent in this, in the Word of God, anywhere that could happen to any human being. But that's what people do. And some believe it's going to be Elijah and Enoch, because they never died, supposedly. Well, then we know they didn't die. They were caught. You know, it said with Enoch, he was there, and he was not seen. He was gone. God caught him off the earth. So we perceive a lot of things with this that we maybe shouldn't, even with about John the Baptist, you know, or Elijah's going to come and they got a chair set for him at the Passover season. Is the true Elijah from heaven going to come back and sit in that chair? You need to rethink this a little bit in the realm of the Spirit, what God's trying to tell you. We don't have any precedent in the Word of God where that ever happened to anybody whatsoever. Now, Saul tried to bring Samuel back, didn't he? Huh? And look what happened to Saul. So he told him in verse 9 here, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, and I stopped in verse 10, I'll read it again. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah or Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias or Elijah is come already. Now he died. Did Elijah die? Yeah, he died, didn't he? But he says, but I say to you that the Elias has come already. Well, he's referring to somebody besides Elijah, where he's going to tell you who it is. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. What man in verse 12 was Jesus talking about here, saying Elias has already come? His name is John the Baptist. Now keep your finger there.
And John the Baptist did die.
That's right.
They beheaded him.
That's right. Okay. Keep your finger there, and let's go over to chapter 11 in Matthew now. Okay. We can kind of put this together.
So this is a spiritual
picture. That's right.
Picture.
That's what it is.
Spiritual thing.
Okay. Now, chapter 11 in Matthew.
Because Elijah didn't die.
Nope.
The real Elijah.
Nope. He was caught off the earth.
But he said, he's teaching them that John the Baptist came.
And
they didn't recognize him.
That's right. And he died, didn't he?
And he died.
That's right.
Right.
Now, I'm in chapter 11.
And we know John the Baptist isn't going to come back
either.
Nope.
We're not looking for him to come back. Verse 7 and 11. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude, concerning who? John. What John is this? John the Baptist. What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Well, John the Baptist was, remember, he didn't have any fancy clothes on, did he, huh? Mm-hmm. Verse 9, but what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, or yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is in Malachi chapter 4, I think, in the first couple of verses. Verily I say unto you, in verse 11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why would he say that? Because John the Baptist died before he could be put in the kingdom of heaven. Right? He died. He didn't have a chance to walk with Christ and hear what he had to say and believe a lot of the things that he said, you know.
But he knew who he was. He knew it by the Spirit.
Yep.
He saw him coming down when he came down to the water.
And he'd never seen him before, it tells you over there in John at the beginning. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, and that's going on today, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do we use swords and guns and all that? No. How do we take it back? By walking holy with the Lord, praying, interceding, and looking to the things that God wants to have accomplished at the time, at this particular time, and agree with him, not with what somebody else says, but agree with him what he's saying to pray about. Now, verse 13, for all the prophets and the law, or the Torah, prophesied until John. Is that a true statement?
Yes.
Sure is. Now look at verse 14. And if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which is for to come. Now this little, it's got a little italics word in here, the word it. The text says, if you will receive, this is Elias, which was for to come. Well, what's being talked about right here? What is he talking about? John the Baptist, and he's telling us about the messenger that's going to come, that's going to declare what? The kingdom of God. So the word it here is really the kingdom. And if you will receive what? The kingdom, this is Elijah, which was to come. And so that's all he's asking him, just to believe that. Amen? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I think it's one of the other gospels. We don't have the word it in it. It actually tells you the kingdom. So it verifies it. Now back to Matthew chapter 17. We just finished reading verse 12. For I say unto you that Elias or Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was the Elijah to come, and they rejected him. So guess what? There's going to be another Elijah come. His name may not be Elijah, but he's going to be a man with the same spirit and power that Elijah had, and Moses as well. It tells you that in Revelation 13. It won't rain for 3.5 years, and the water can turn to blood and all that. But see, their names are not given. So why do we perceive something that's not there? Because some man thinks so. And they get this all out of Zechariah chapter 4 about the two anointed lampstands and all that, okay? So I'm going to read 13 again. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is what he's talking about. So if the Jews would turn and make a right turn after they get out of Malachi and come into the new covenant, they might have a new thought about setting up a chair there at the Passover year for Elijah, because John the Baptist is not going to come and sit in that chair. He died, right? Doesn't say anything about him being resurrected. Elijah never died, okay? And so, as I said before, is God going to bring him back? He's in a supernatural body right now. Put him in a physical body, have him do his ministry for 3.5 years, and then kill him, and then raise him from the dead after 3.5 days. There's no precedent in the Word of God for that anywhere. So this is how the Jewish thought came about this. So they stop at Malachi, and they don't understand what Jesus had to say about the rest of it. So I have a whole different view of this now, about this thing. And it's right here. It tells you. John the Baptist was the Elijah to come. And what happened to him? They cut his head off, didn't they? They didn't like what he had to say. But it was he was an incredible man, and Jesus made it quite clear in chapter 11 here, in this chapter, that there was no prophet like him. You know, he was out there in sackcloth and ashes and all the stuff. He wore a girdle and ate what was it?
He was a great prophet.
Yeah, what was he ate all the time? It was I'm trying to remember what he ate. It's not what people think.
Well, he didn't have.
It was something that grew on a tree. I know that.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But you know, he wasn't. He was. His life was planned.
That's right.
And prophesied about.
Absolutely, what was going to happen.
And yeah. It was the supernatural. Even I think, because his mother gave birth to him late in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a plan and a plan for him to come
a destiny.
At a certain time, mm-hmm. at the right time. What was it? 6 months before.
All right.
Jesus was born.
That's right.
And
so John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus.
Yes.
And we got a lesson, an appendix in the back of my book, that tells you the biblical dates for Jesus' conception and what?
Birth.
His birth. It's all there. Mm-hmm. But you got to be willing to read. And not listen to everything that you say or hear. You got to read the word for yourself. And if we don't know the Jewish understanding, you know, these four gospels, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people that particular time. And that's what he wanted them to know. Amen. So John the Baptist was a marvelous man. He was out in the wilderness. He never lived in a fancy castle or anything. He was out in the wilderness, and he lived what would you call it?
A lonely life.
A lonely life.
But he was with the Lord.
He was with
What's interesting, you mentioned Malachi, because this verse is in the last chapter of Malachi in verse 5,
mm-hmm.
about, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, mm-hmm. the prophet, before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Lord.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children,
mm-hmm.
and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So, like you said, this is the last page of the new covenant, of the old covenant.
Old covenant.
And they didn't know.
And when 400 years went by.
And they didn't know. And so the next thing to come on the scene was about John the Baptist.
That's right.
Right before Yeshua was born.
He's the messenger in chapter 4, verse 1 there.
He's the messenger right there.
That's right. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's all about him. Amen.
He had a message, and, you know, he didn't want to be lifted up, you know, nope. because people were coming to his baptism, to John's baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he directed the people, and he directed them and pointed them to Jesus. And that's what we should do, isn't it? Shouldn't we?
That's right.
We should be pointing people to Jesus, not yes. to anything else or anyone else. But Jesus is the answer for every single situation.
That's right. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3 says this, "For this is he," talking about John the Baptist, "that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Somebody ought to read Isaiah 40, verse 3.
Margie can go there.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
"And the same John had his raiment of camel's cloth and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Amen.
Isaiah
40 verse 3. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." This was the baptism of John, or repentance. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat, or fitting, for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast," where? "Into the fire. Yes. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, boshakandanaba, and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather," you know, "his wheat,"
yes,
"not the tares, but the wheat, into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with" what? unquenchable fire. So the chaff's a picture of the tares as well. Okay. So John the Baptist was quite a man.
Yes. You have that scripture, Margie?
Yes. Read it.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 40, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right. I was going to turn over to Malachi, too. Some people pronounce it Malachi. It's Italian for Malachi. I tell people all the time. Malachi, chapter 3, huh? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the days of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not.
Amen.
Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return, here's teshuvah unto me, and I will teshuvah unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and so on. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I was just thinking, Pastor Gene, you have something else to say?
Yeah, I was going to come over. I want to read verse 16, 17, and 18 in this same chapter. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance. We talked about the three books that's opened on Rosh Hashanah. The middle one is the book of remembrance. Those that have not made their decision up for Christ was written before him for them that feared me. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. He calls them jewels, huh? Special treasures. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return to Shuvah and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Pretty powerful, huh?
Awesome, awesome.
Go ahead,
praise God. I was just thinking about the Bible marathon that we just finished, and you know, Margie's here with us, and she did a lot of reading, and she loved reading the Bible at the Bible marathon, along with many other people did, and you know, the anointing just came when they were reading, right, Margie?
Yes, mm-hmm. They did. You could see it.
You could see it. You could feel it. Some people, you know, wept, and others. I didn't see too much laughing, but could have been when I wasn't there, because I wasn't there the whole time. But I know that in years past, there's been, you know, people would laugh, or people would get their voices all of a sudden get stronger, or somebody would start reading and they would sound, you know,
boldness.
The boldness would be get come, right? The boldness would come. And I know you read that scripture in chapter 40, but I think you should go back and let's read a few of these. Let's start in verse 1 in chapter 40.
Okay.
And let's see what it says, because it's talking about comfort. It's talking about preparing the way. It's talking about a voice, because God gives everybody a voice. Mm-hmm. you know, John the Baptist isn't here right now, but you know what? Each one of us have a voice.
That's right.
And God gives us a voice. Even Hallelujah. Everyone who, mm-hmm. who read, they used their voice. We all, and we blew the shofar.
Yes,
we did.
When we started,
went to a new book.
Every new book, we blew the shofar, and sometimes was blown a little
Between chapters, more than that.
Special things were said. Marcy would blow her shofar, and along with other people. That's right. We did. We blew it at every chapter.
Every chapter in Psalms.
But he's here. We were talking about making this the mountains are coming. The mountains and the hills and. You know, he's going to make straight the way. He's going to make straight the highway because there's only one highway. There's only one way.
That's right.
Yes.
And there's and reveal the glory. And he talks about, you know, the Lord is God. You know, we're talking about Yeshua. He is God. A lot of people don't recognize Yeshua as God. They don't understand that Jesus is God. And so, and it talks about life, you know, life. Things bloom and then things die, right? Flowers grow and then flowers die. Well, you know, it talks about the Spirit of God, too, how it blows upon things in this. Well, we need the Ruach, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God breathing upon us. And it talks about how the Word of God will what? Will stand forever and ever. We could go on forever and ever and say that word ever.
In verse 8, right. Yes.
Yes, amen. So I would think that, Marcy, if you could just read perhaps maybe verse 1 through perhaps verse maybe 11.
Yes, it'd be an honor.
Okay.
Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Verse 10, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse 11, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Glory to God.
It's good.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
A lot of mysteries in the Bible, but they're really not mysteries today because we've been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the Bible, just like Jesus told his disciples. You've been given the privilege to know those things.
Mm-hmm.
And we should honor that. And if we really study the Word, don't just believe what everybody else tells you. You check it out.
Amen.
When I first got saved, I began to realize some things that didn't sound right to me. And when Don and I started teaching young people in the youth ministry, I saw things doing lessons. I said, well, that's what we're being told, but that's not what the Bible says. And so we had to rethink some things, amen? And it's very important we understand that.
Well, see, the voice, it brings people to God.
That's right.
This here, this verse 3, is so, there's so much in that. The voice, it says, of him that crieth in the wilderness. We were talking about John the Baptist that was crying in the wilderness.
Yes.
But, you know, you could be crying in your city, couldn't you?
Yep.
Yes.
You could be crying in your home. You could
sure
be crying
can.
In your nation, for your for the people, for the church, for the body of Christ. To what? To prepare the way of the Lord. That's Yod Heh Vav Heh, to prepare the way of the Lord. That's what John the Baptist was doing.
That's it.
Preparing the way and preaching the repentance to the people in Israel and Jerusalem and wherever he went. Preaching repentance, and he's telling them to make straight the desert a highway. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So who was he leading him to? To God.
To God.
To God. And who did what did Jesus do? He led us, he leads us to the Father, doesn't he?
Yes.
He leads us to the Father because he tells us to pray to the Father, to pray for the Father, pray to the Father in his name. So he leads us to the Father. He only said what the Father told him to say. So here we can see this in this verse, how important the voice is in preparing a way for a people to receive the Lord and come to God.
And that's all John the Baptist did was he?
Because God,
spoke out.
The Father is God and the Son is God.
That's right.
And
a lot of
Holy
people
Ghost
have trouble believing that, you know. They don't want to call Jesus God, but he is.
Amen. Glory
sure,
to God.
Sure is. Sure is.
Praise God.
You know, I was thinking while we were reading here a little bit in Matthew 13. This is an interesting chapter that God put right in the middle of the Bible here. Verse 18 says, "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower." I like the first part.
Thought, Margie, if you got a thought.
"When anyone heareth the word," this word here is in the Greek is the word logos, the written word, "of the kingdom, and understandeth it not." Here's the key thing. People have to understand the Bible. Well, how do we understand the Bible? We have to ask the Holy Ghost to tell us what it's all about. "And then cometh the wicked one," who's that? The devil, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now, we used to have the kids at the Y years ago, a lot of kids, and we used to tell them when we'd start teaching the Word of God, and we say, "Now we're going to tell you some things tonight. You need to think about this, because when you leave here, the enemy's going to come immediately and try to steal the truth that was given to you tonight by the Lord. So you need to be in tune," we told them, "and listen carefully so that you can understand. Because if you don't understand it, what's going to happen? The wicked one's going to really come." And a lot of Christians today don't really understand their Bible. They've got 100 translations to read, all the different things they're going through. One pastor believes one thing, another pastor believes something else. Well, who do you believe? My final decision about believing is right here in front of me, my Bible, the King James Bible. It stands alone. It stands alone. And this is what I look at. And so this is what we got to put in our heart. And if we can't understand it, we got a problem. But you know, this book is not that difficult. The King James is written on fifth grade level. So why do people have trouble with reading it? You know, I think they did pretty good down at the Bible Marathon.
Yes.
You know, with what, some
we had
of the
children reading.
Yeah, they did pretty well.
Excellent.
They did excellent. In fact, the children, some of them knew the words better than some of the adults. A couple of them didn't know how to pronounce the word hypocrisy and some other things, you know. But anyway, we need to know the Word of God. That's what it's all about. So we gave you a little tidbit there, I believe, that God wanted to show us about the kingdom of God in Matthew 16 and 17, so that we might know.
I think Margie
the people
has something else
that will
to say
get
too.
Into the kingdom of God and how they're going to get there. There's three ways to come, isn't there? And so they all have to have Christ, okay? And so we know we have to have the Jesus Christ. But we know that Moses and Elijah, they never had Jesus Christ. They never met him, did they, in their life?
No.
But they knew the God of Israel.
But they knew the God of Israel. They knew Yod Heh Vav Heh and walked with him. So that was what's important. Amen? But now that Christ has come, now we have to come to him. No man can be saved except by him. What did he say? "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." Amen? All right, Margie. That's right.
As Pastor Donna was talking about 3 and 4, this chapter, Isaiah 40, is a message of comfort. Mm-hmm. And as the world is today, we definitely could use some
comfort. A lot of comfort, yeah.
And it comes from the Lord. And so in 3:4, it says, make straight in the desert. And some of our lives, we are definitely in a desert. Some people don't know the way out of the desert.
Yeah.
So the Father, he can bring comfort to you. If you get in the Word, or if you listen to the radio or the television and listen to a pastor that's ministering the Word, and if you don't know him yet, and you're in such a desert place, it can bring comfort to you.
Yes.
It could make the path straight and make it easy for you to come to the Father. And even in our walk, even in our spiritual walk, after we come to the Lord, it could be a little crooked yet as you come to the Lord. It could still be a little crooked, but he can speak comfort to you and say, come on, come on, Margie, come on, John or whoever, come, I'm going to help you to make this road straight.
Yes.
And make this road, your journey with the Father, make this crooked road become straight. It says that his path is narrow, but God will comfort you and help bring you through this rough place and make it straight for you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
Amen.
All the time.
This whole chapter is really a good chapter. I love this chapter. Amen, Pastor G?
Yes. Chapter 40, yes.
Chapter 40 is really...
How much of that did you read altogether?
Till 11.
Till 11.
Well, maybe we ought to read a little bit more, huh?
Thank you, Lord. I like verse... Well, there's a whole lot. We don't have time probably to read the whole thing, but it says... 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth.
That's right.
And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Now, that's what you were looking for about John the Baptist. He said he ate grasshoppers.
Yeah.
I think it was some kind of a plant, not a grasshopper, but who knows? Only John the Baptist knows, I guess. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It's God who does everything. You know,
right.
He brings the princesses to nothing, and he makes judges of the earth as vanity. And back over here in 16, we're talking about the last days. You've been talking about the last days, and it talks about the nations and what's going to happen to the nations that don't honor God, that don't honor Israel, that don't... A lot of people don't look to... They think God is finished with Israel.
Yeah.
Well, he's not finished with Israel because... At all. He's not finished with Jerusalem. We're supposed to continually pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
All the time.
And look what's happening in Jerusalem now and in Israel now. All the things. We got to keep our eyes there on that place, because that is what that's where we're going to see the ending of this history, what it says in the Bible. 17, it says, all nations before him are as nothing.
Yep.
See, that's how he looks. I mean, he loves all people. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love people. He loves all people, but all these
nations
that come against Israel, they're as nothing. And the Bible says that all nations are going to come against Israel.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, even our nation could come against Israel. Once the catching away has happened and every Christian has been gone, what's holding back the wickedness? What's holding back the wickedness? The saints, the Holy Ghost and the saints is holding it back. But when they're gone, I mean, the Holy Spirit will still be here. And people can still be saved, but you know what? There could be, things are probably going to get a lot worse than they are right now. Sin is probably going to be a lot worse. I mean, we talked about what Sodom and Gomorrah was like. Well, even now in this nation, it's a lot worse now than it was 50 years ago situation with sin. It's a lot worse.
That's right.
And so when the catching away happens, you know, things are going to get a lot worse. And our nation could even turn away from from Israel. So, you know, God says all nations are as nothing. You know, he counts them as nothing, it says, and vanity.
That's right.
But I like what, I know you have something to share, Pastor Gene. We still have some
little
bit of time.
Just go on, we got time.
But over here in, well, you probably are going to read part of the, I'm just going to go right to the end. But they that wait upon the Lord.
Verse 31, yeah.
Shall renew
their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
That's right. It's incredible, isn't it, huh?
Go ahead, honey.
Okay. I was just thinking about verse 22. You mentioned it. Well, I don't know whether we read it. It, where God spoke through Isaiah and said, is it he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth? You know, they said years ago when Columbus and his group was going to come to the Americas, as we call it now, everybody thought, some of them thought they were nuts because they thought the earth was square. The answer was right here in the Bible.
All this time.
And so he was a Christian, so he believed this. Okay.
And he was a Jew as well.
Yeah, that's right. It says, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It's amazing, huh? I like verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? He's not equal to anybody or anything. Such the Holy One, amen? Saith the Holy One. So it's amazing. But I was just thinking as we talk about this, you know, there's probably people listening to this radio program right now, and maybe someone's an unbeliever, and they just happen to stumble on WCNO, and start listening, and maybe they had made a decision for Christ a year ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, and they walked away. In other words, they're backslidden, and they might be just right now, they might be being convicted by the Holy Ghost to come back to the Lord. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you for all that you might have been involved with, you didn't fully understand maybe, and he's willing to forgive you. His arm is never too short. He'll reach down with his mercy and grace, and he'll pull you back to that place, and it'll be like nothing ever happened. And if we confess those sins, we know that the Bible tells it'll be as far as the east is from the west when we stand before him. They're gone. And so I'm just encouraging somebody that might have walked with the Lord at one time, and you've just kind of got cold with him. And we don't want to be the Laodicean church. They were the ones that were neither hot nor cold. And God said he was going to spew them out. You know what the temperature is of water at freezing? 32 degrees Fahrenheit. What is it for boiling?
106.
No. How much is it?
180.
I think it's 180, yeah. So if you take 32 from, no, it's more than that.
It's more than that.
Yeah, it's more than 212 or something. If you take 32 from the freezing number, you come out to what God wants you to have.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But we do know.
That's right.
Right now, it's just kind of,
that's
whoop.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I was trying to think how that went. I did that one time.
I know you did the math on it.
Yeah. It says you're neither hot nor cold.
If you're lukewarm, what happens?
And between one and the other is, what, like 180 degrees. So it means you have to turn around 180 degrees to come back to the Lord. So
there
you won't be lukewarm anymore. But the Bible says God's going to spew them out of his mouth. If they're not, if they're lukewarm, he's not going to have nothing to do with them. So we have to get on fire, red hot for the Lord, don't we? That's what we have to do.
Thank you, Lord.
So we're asking you to think about that. So I'd like to address also someone that's listening to this program that has never asked Christ to come into your life. You go to church once in a while to kind of pacify your conscience, and you're being convicted right now by what you hear on this program, and we pray that the Holy Ghost will draw you to the place where you'll just bow your knee and say, Lord, I need you more than my life. I need you more than my next breath. And you said in your word that I must be born again to see the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of that. All you have to do is ask him to come into your life. He did it for me. He can do it for you. It's that simple. You ask and you shall receive. And don't worry about your past. I've had people tell me, well, when I get my act cleaned up, I'll start going to church and maybe something will happen. Well, you just come to him as you are. Remember that song he used to sing in church? Come as you are.
Just
and once you come, then the Lord will be the one that will clean you up. You're not going to clean yourself up. He's the one that will clean you up, you know. And so that's what's important about it. You know, I think about all these helps programs that we have and all. Well, they may help to a certain point, but the real help we need is what? Jesus and his word.
Amen.
And if we had that, people, we'd have a lot less counseling for pastors and all to do. because they would know the word of God. They wouldn't be fooled by these things. You know, I think about the marriage things that people have, counseling over and all. And a lot of times it goes in one ear and out the other. They need to read the word of God for themselves. And God's got the answers right here in this Bible. You know, when I first got saved, you someone that's listening right now, is hearing this. When I first got saved, one of the scriptures I read was that I, as a husband, must love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I'll tell you, that hit me so hard to know the love that he has for the world and that I'm supposed to love my wife the same way. I mean, that's a tremendous commandment to fulfill. But if we walk with the Lord, he can make it a lot easier than us trying to do it on our own. And we won't fail. We'll trust him in everything that we do. So if you've never come, today is a day of salvation, not tomorrow. We just ask you to take a moment or two. Think about your life. Think of where we're at. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that God has a purpose for you. He doesn't have evil thoughts. He only has good thoughts towards you. He has an expected end, a destiny for you. You're not here by chance. And so let God do something with you. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You can come and start over today. Isn't it great to know that you can start all over again? It's like the eighth day. It's a new beginning. All you do, you come to Christ. I remember the day I did it, made the decision. I couldn't believe it when I got up. It felt like I lost 100-pound weight off my back. Everything just dropped off. And I thought, wow, hallelujah. But then some things came, you know, and we have to learn how to handle those things, like Margie talked about. You know, it's not a bowl of roses when you come. He's going to deal with you about things, and he's going to clean out those areas that need to be cleaned out. But let him do it. He'll bring it. He won't give you more than you can handle. And, you know, he'll set priorities. He'll show you the important things, and he'll take you through all of it one by one, and he'll ask you to follow him. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I failed in that area. Would you please forgive me? And you know what? He never fails to forgive if you're sincere. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I just sense somebody's on the radio listening right now that you've been in a sinful situation and you don't know how to break out of it. You're being convicted right now that you need to pick up your feet and you need to run out of it. If it's a relationship, something that you're doing that's contrary to the word of God, and I'll tell you, peace will come like never before when you turn it over to the Prince of Peace. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. So do that today. If you make that decision, please call us at area code 772-285-7007. Let us know what God's done for you or you made a decision, and we can pray with you on the phone. We prayed for a lot of people. I did, down at the Bible Marathon, a little bit that we were there. And so it's wonderful to know that you got the saints around you to love you, to worship God with you, and all that. So it's amazing. So make that decision today. It's the most important decision you'll ever make.
Ask Jesus to come into your heart. It's as simple as that. Amen. Because
right.
God says, he says, fear not, for I am with thee.
That's
Be not dismayed. I am thy God. He will strengthen us. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on WCNO every Saturday from 12 noon till 1 p.m. Our phone number is area code 772-285-7007, and we meet today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 4 o'clock at the Alliance Church. So come out and worship with us, and we will be glad to see you and love you and talk to you and spend time with you, and just God is good. Just so love the Lord, whatever you're doing. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.